Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Good morning, Dr. Morse.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I understand I misspoke. I'm fine, thank you. I understand I misspoke. Your birthday is next week?
My birthday is on Father's Day. Yeah, next Sunday.
Oh, next Sunday. Yeah, this coming. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I have a few more days then to forget to get you something.
Yeah, perfect.
That's a tradition, Justin, that Dr. Most and I have each year.
Yeah, you forget each other's
birthday. To get each other's stuff for a birthday.
You remember the birthday, you just purposely avoid giving gifts.
Isn't that a dude thing?
Yeah.
It's a guy thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's embarrassing when you give the gift that they gave you the year before, the next year to them.
That's not a bad idea if we just re-gifted back and forth.
Yeah.
Right.
At least make a bid out of it, right?
Well, here's the thing. Doc and I are old enough where it's not going to be that long where we'll forget we got it the year before. Soon. A terrible week last week in regards to losing two celebrities to suicide. Of course, this happens every day across America. As I've said many times, I lost two friends to suicide. And this on the heels of a very extensive study that came out last week that said in some states, suicide rates are up 50%. Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, of course, were the two famous names that took their own lives last week. So let's go in reverse order here. What do we know about that study?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the CDC looks at, they'll pick illnesses to look at and look how we've been doing over the past 15 years, 20 years. Are we improving? Is treatment getting better? And unfortunately, with suicide, it is not. It's gotten worse. Not only are the rates up, the rates are up in every single state with the exception of Nevada. So we certainly, when we look at cancer, we see rates going down. We see life expectancy going up. Suicide, we are not seeing that at all. And we really need more awareness and to get more active in it.
I have seen the studies that say social media has hurt in this regard. It's helped lead to more depression. Also studies that, while we talk to each other more than we ever have, we're not talking to people intimately like we had in the past. We're not making the same sort of connections. There's never been more resources. There's never been more abilities for people to find things they need to help them when they're desperate. Why aren't people taking advantage of those?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, it's interesting. We talk about the social media and the impact of social media on it. We also take the impact of just straight regular media. Numbers to the suicide hotline call were up 25% to 50% last week alone. So that awareness there, whether it was a friend being aware and talking and calling to say, hey, I have a concern about a friend of mine, or whether it was people who were actively, you know, considering it and are depressed. So sometimes the media, we miss out on opportunities to talk about things that may trigger other people to act.
Dr. Most, how much responsibility do you put on the medical community, doctors, mental illness clinics, the like, when it comes to this study and the fact that suicide rates are increasing?
Yeah, it's interesting, Justin. When we look at that, and I give the analogy, if you were really had major depression, you could still come into a doctor's office visit for 15 minutes, and I may not know. You may answer the questions totally the right way so that I may not know. So that portion of it, I'm not sure that we are dropping the ball. The portion where we are dropping the ball is how we're doing treatment and how we have coverage in this country. It probably is going to be very surprising to people that 60% of the counties across the United States do not have a single psychiatrist. That is 60 million individuals with a new onset of mental illness who won't receive care from a psychiatrist because we don't have enough and we don't have them in the right places.
Well, let me talk as well about the way that we deal with suicide in culture. You talked about social media and media in general, but just in how we relate to the disease, we say people committed suicide. We talk as if it's almost a crime. There's stigma attached to it in the sense that nobody actually wants to talk about it. Is this just a point where, like cancer and other diseases, that there needs to be more of an awareness campaign or at least a paradigm shift when it comes to suicide?
100%. The social stigma still is there. We have to realize that depression is just like brain cancer. It's like Alzheimer's. It's like Parkinson's. It is a disease of the brain. And you hit it right on the head. We say people committed suicide. We have to change that. We have to change it. We have to say They died by suicide, death by suicide. This, we have to change how we think about this, and we have to get rid of the embarrassment of people being depressed, because it's not because they're weak. Look at Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, probably two of the, you know, wildly successful people, and yet they had these demons that they were fighting that took their lives.
The chemical imbalance in the brain that leads to major depression that sometimes is untreatable is a huge part of this, but I don't want to slip over the fact that you said 50% of people who kill themselves eventually are it's found out they were never diagnosed with depression. Is that because it was missed, or because there's a causal effect or cause and effect here that I'm not aware of?
Yeah, often it was missed. So we do what we call a psychological autopsy, and we start to look then, and that sometimes it's done by a physician, sometimes it's just done by the family members, and they start to look, and they look at all the things, and they say, oh, wow, boy, he did do this at work. He did start to retract from his friends. He did talk about being worthless and hopelessness, and he wasn't sleeping well. All those things that we look for depression, it's kind of like, oh, wow, yeah, they were there. We just never acted on them.
We'll come back and talk more about this in a second with Dr. Kevin Most. If you need help, get it. Please ask for it. 800-273-TALK, 800-273-8255. Nobody's going to judge you. They haven't heard anything that you could tell them, or they haven't not heard anything that you could tell them. There's nothing they haven't heard. I would also, again, recommend RebeccasDream.org. That's the foundation started after my friend Rebecca Cutler killed herself. Great resources there as well, because, Doc, as you know, sometimes you got to talk to somebody that's walking the same walk you are and understands that darkness to really get some help. And that's what Rebecca's Dream does, and that's what they can do at the Suicide Helpline. So 800-273-8255. We'll come back. Much more to discuss about this in a second. Text line 312-981-7200. Back with Dr. Kevin Most. The topic is suicide because it's been so much of the news, and frankly, we should talk about it more, as Doc has already stated. Doc, you know, the thing that I've learned from my own experience is that we need to also teach people to not say, oh, you have so much to live for. You need to snap out of it. Maybe you just need more sleep. Those type of things, those sort of dismissive things, because it's a difficult conversation to have with somebody you care about. And a lot of times the folks that care about you the most are going to get frustrated because you've been down for so long, because the understanding statements you need to make are, why are you hurting? What can I do to help?
Steve, you hit it right on the head. You know, if someone reaches out to you and they're talking that way and you dismiss them and say, don't worry about it, shake it off, they're not coming back to you. That's just going to reinforce that what they're feeling is hurting them. And they're not going to come back to you again and do that. So we really need to be aware, because like both of you have said, you know, medicine is good. We can treat a lot of these patients, but we have to know they're out there. So we need the public, we need the family, we need the friends to be able to identify those people and reach out to them and say, hey, come on, let's get you some help.
I wonder, as you say that the suicides are up 50% and the study is tremendous when you look at it, is this a fact that depression is up as much, that we're seeing more and more signs of people being depressed that we hadn't seen before? Or is this a situation where the medical communities, like you just said, that there's no psychiatrists in over half of the counties in this country, is deteriorating because of budgets, resources, things like that, that we're not funding when it comes to general municipalities?
Yeah, it's if you look at, I'll take the state of Illinois. You know, what are some of the first things we cut with budgets? We cut these social services because they're soft there. They feel like we may not need them. So, you know, that part of it is there. The other thing, Justin, is that what we've looked at recently here now, too, is our issue with opioids. So a lot of opioids are either called suicide as well. But we really do need to get to the point where more primary care doctors are actually given the chance and the opportunity to treat these patients. You know, we aren't going to build more psychiatrists. That's going to be a pretty much a fixed number, and You know, I'm not sure what's going to happen there. But what we need to do is we need insurance companies and the federal government to understand that to treat somebody in a primary care office, a family practice office, a pediatrician, even an OB-GYN's office, they need to be able to compensate those doctors to treat them, to make them more active in the treatment. And I hate to bring it back to compensation, but sometimes it is.
Well, I mean, you know, that's that everybody gets paid because you have to get paid to go into that line of work. So nurse practitioners and physician's assistants are a big part of the rural medicine story in the future. They need to be deputized to be able to do this kind of work as well, right?
Absolutely. APNs and PAs are going to be very important in this, as well as telemedicine. The ability of a psychiatrist to be able to communicate with somebody is simple over Skype, and then be able to make that diagnosis and hand it off to that APN and PA or the family doctor in rural America. But we really need to get treatment more to that front line.
Run out of time here. We're going to post Dr. Most notes, as we always do, including a list of symptoms that you need to look for and those who may be most at risk, warning signs, things of that nature. The general summary here, and it's very much an umbrella that a lot of things live under, is that somebody feels a sense of worthlessness that they can't shake and a sense of being a burden to those they love the most. It's a very dangerous area to be in. And you can't save them, but you can offer to help again and again and again. So I hope you will. In the meantime, pass this number along, 800-273-8255. That's the Suicide Helpline, the National Helpline. No judgment there. And again, RebeccasDream.org with a bunch of great resources. You can spend a few minutes on that website and pass that along and help your friends navigate it, those who need it most. So, all right, great notes as always, Doc. And we post these with the podcast, which will go up in just moments, and people will be able to see all the work that's being done here and all the things you can do. So thanks for that.
You got it. Hey, you know, Steve, we talk every time about, usually it's about something you can do for yourself personally. And this is one where you need to reach, look out around your circle of friends and around your family. Because there's more than one victim here. The victim who has death by suicide is one, but the family and friends they leave behind is another. So make sure that if you have anybody like that, reach out and get them some help.
And happy birthday in advance, because the next time we'll talk to you, you will be that 1 year older. Do you want to say what the birthday this is? Do you want to mention it?
No. Huh.
You want me to give people a range of what it might be?
Like, yeah, right.
Okay, he's between 40 and 80.
It's a big birthday for both me and brother David. So his birthday was last week, and then my birthday and my brother. You know, Kurt and I were born on the same day, 2 years apart. Mm-hmm. So we have three birthdays here coming up to celebrate.
Milestone, big time. And, boy, I'll tell you what, you look fabulous. You're really taking great care of yourself, and I see you at least a couple good years for you yet.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Thank you, my friend.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
Dr. Kevin Most.